Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Today, Candace.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I just finished my work day. It's about to storm here, so if you hear some rumbles, it's not a rumbly in my tumbly, okay?
Hey, aren't you leaving town tomorrow?
Yes, I do have a work day, and then after that, I will be heading to Colorado.
Colorado. I'm jelly.
Mm-hmm. I so wish that you were meeting us there, but I understand.
I know. Me too. We'll get you next time.
Well, I will go ahead and get started because we have a long night. We are recording two episodes to help us get a little caught up.
Yep.
So today we're going to talk about Elizabeth Puel Arellano. Elizabeth Puel Arellano, her close friends and family called her Betty. So her and Rodolfo, who goes by Rudy Arellano, they met at Diamond Hill Jarvis High School in Fort Worth, Texas.
Really?
Yeah. They were high school sweethearts. They got married and had four children together, three sons and a daughter. They stayed in Fort Worth and raised their family there. Elizabeth worked as a medical assistant. In 2016, Rudy was 36 years old, and Elizabeth was 28. So it says they were high school sweethearts, but there's a pretty big gap in age, yeah. So I'm not sure if, like, she was a freshman when he was a senior or whatnot. I couldn't find any information. But they had been married for 13 years at this point in 2016. However, at this time, Elizabeth told Rudy that she wanted a divorce.
Oh.
Yeah, she didn't take the decision lightly. She went to church regularly and was known to be as the glue that held the family together. And always put others first. She decided to move in with her parents and begin her life as a single mom.
That's rough.
In April 15th of 2016, a week into living with her parents, she went out with coworkers after work. Despite everything that was going on in her life, she was in good spirits. So after her work day, they all go out just to kind of relax and have fun. In the early hours of the next day, she messaged a friend to let her know she had made it home safely to her parents' house. I think it was something like, I read a report like around 2:45 or 3 o'clock in the morning that her friend received this text saying that she was home. She had sent the message while sitting in her car outside of their house, so she had never actually made it inside.
That's not home safe.
I know, and I do that all the time. My dad and, you know, my sister, whoever says, text me when you get home or call me when you get home. I wait till I'm inside because of things like this.
Exactly.
But Juanita, Elizabeth's mom, woke up the next morning and found her daughter's car abandoned outside with the keys still in the ignition.
Ugh.
Now, a couple of reports that I read said that her car was abandoned nearby. Then some just say her car was abandoned outside. So I don't know the specifics to that, but her mom found the car with the keys still in the ignition. Her purse and her cell phone were sitting in the passenger seat.
Oh.
Juanita reported her daughter missing immediately. It was obvious that Elizabeth had not left on her own will. Someone had to have taken her, is what her family thought. During the investigation, officers went to Rudy's home, her estranged husband, and questioned him. Rudy told homicide detectives that he last saw his wife 2 days before she died, and that he last spoke to her at 2:39 a.m. on the morning of her disappearance. He said that she told him in that phone call that she had just arrived at her parents' house and would soon be bringing her 4 children to his house, even though she moved in with her parents with her kids a week earlier.
So she was going to take the kids at 2:30 a.m. to his house?
That's what he says. And he said that Elizabeth also told him that she had planned on staying in a hotel for the night after she dropped the kids off with him. He asked her to stay with them, and she refused. He says when his wife and children never arrived, he assumed she had decided just to stay at her parents' house. When asked about his whereabouts that night, Rudy told detectives he had spent most of the evening of April 15th with a friend. He was tinting that friend's windows of his vehicle. He said he arrived home about midnight and didn't leave his house again until 7:30 in the morning. Investigators were a little surprised by his behavior. He didn't seem worried about his estranged wife's disappearance. He told them that he last saw Elizabeth 2 days earlier and had no idea where she might be. So just before police started looking for Elizabeth, another call came in to 911. So just a few hours earlier, a fisherman called and reported hearing screams at around 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
He then witnessed someone falling from the Interstate 820 bridge into Lake Worth.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That went OTT real quick.
Yeah, I get chills every time I read this.
I will never drive past Lake Worth ever again and not visualize this.
Right. Well, the spot where this happened, I mean, I've been fishing there several times with Chris, and I don't think I will ever go there again without thinking of Elizabeth. So the witness on the 911 call, he stated, it looks like they might have been hiding something. And then he says, they hit the water and now they are gone.
Okay. What?
Yeah. So he's calling in talking.
But
yeah. But okay. Think about it. 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. He's on the lake. It's the only lighting you have is the moon and the stars.
Right.
Which I've been on that lake in the middle of the night. And I mean, it's eerie and it's dark. But, I mean, if you've got the light from the moon shining, you can see shadows and stuff. So I'm sure when he was
on the lake in a boat?
It just says a fisherman. I don't know if he was in a boat. Why were you
on the lake in the middle of the night?
Well, my husband's a fisherman, but you know.
In the middle of the night?
He likes to fish. Yes, night fishing is so fun.
Aren't the fish sleeping?
No.
I know nothing about fishing, clearly.
That's when you get some good fishing in.
Okay.
I mean, it's very relaxing out there in the pitch black. But okay, this happens.
It's a no for me.
Yeah. not when you see or hear a woman screaming and see this kind of thing. So again, the witness stated, it looks like they may have been hiding something. And the operator says, it looks like they were hiding something. And then the witness says, they hit the water and now they're gone.
I don't understand.
So the dive team was quickly sent out to the lake and eventually recovered Elizabeth's body from the water.
Oh, no.
She was wearing her maroon medical scrubs that she had worn to work the day before. Elizabeth had a rope tied around her neck. Attached to the rope was a 119-pound block of concrete that still had a wooden fence post stuck in it.
Oh, my gosh.
At first, it was speculated that her death was suicide, but the medical examiner would determine that Elizabeth was a victim of a homicide. Investigators said, "We believe this was an attempt to conceal the body."
Well, yeah.
If it hadn't been for the witness hearing the screams and seeing Elizabeth fall from the bridge, her body might not have ever been found.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Like,
yeah.
What are the odds? Some guy was fishing in the middle of the night and saw that.
Right, at the exact time.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Yeah. So it was obvious to the medical examiner that Elizabeth was still alive when she was thrown off of the bridge. I mean, obviously, she screamed for her life. So now the question was, did someone random abduct her as she had gotten out of her car, or was it someone she knew? The block of concrete, though, would be what helped lead police to her killer. Detectives discovered that Rudy, he had torn down a fence for a friend a few months earlier, and he still had the remnants of that.
What an idiot.
Mm-hmm. It included wooden posts still anchored in concrete. Parts of concrete were found in Rudy's yard and in the back of his truck.
I just might as well have signed your name on her arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah. So remember, Rudy told police he had been at home at the time of the incident.
Yeah.
But do you know what went wrong for Rudy? I mean, not just the concrete, but what else went wrong for him? That would be CCTV. Oh, no.
That old
CCTV
chestnut.
Saw him. Yeah. And cell phone mapping.
Uh-huh. Get you every time.
Mm-hmm. CCTV had captured his truck near Elizabeth's parents' house. The footage confirmed that Elizabeth had arrived at her parents' house, but drove away for unknown reasons a short time later. And that was around 2:41 a.m. At 3:02 a.m. on April 16th, the footage revealed a white Dodge Ram pickup truck, similar to the one that Rudy owned.
Oh.
Traveling north from the vicinity of the parents' home 4 minutes later, and the same vehicle is seen on North Main Street just south of Loop 820. An affidavit says this direction of travel would be the most direct path from the last place Elizabeth's vehicle was seen on camera and where she was found.
Yeah.
So while Elizabeth was out with her friends, Rudy had messaged her asking when she had be done with work. I think she was making him think that she was working late, from one of the reports that I read. He also called, but she didn't answer. Though he told police that he was home, cell phone tower mapping indicates he was actually at or near Elizabeth's place of work in North Richland Hills when he sent those messages.
Oh.
And she wasn't there.
Mm.
So then it shows he went to Elizabeth's house and he sat and waited for her to get home so he could ambush her.
That's messed up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is where he just raged. He wanted to talk to her. She moved out of the house away from him, filing for divorce, And now she's lying to him, saying that she's at work and she's not.
Well, what she's doing ain't none of your business, Rudy.
Mm-hmm. So, just 10 days after Elizabeth was found, Rudy was arrested and charged with kidnapping and murder. He continued to deny playing any part in her death. As the trial approached, he knew he was facing the possibility of a death sentence if found guilty by a jury. So, in February of 2019, Rudy made a plea deal. He would plead guilty to kidnapping and capital murder in return for a life sentence without the chance of parole. Elizabeth's family agreed to the plea, knowing it brought with it the certainty that he would never be released.
Yeah.
At the sentencing, family and friends wore Elizabeth's picture pinned to their clothes, and they were given a chance to deliver their victim impact statements in court during Rudy's sentencing. Elizabeth's sister, Johanna, or Joanna, I don't know how you say it. It looks like Johanna, but she gave her statement, and she recalled having to buy a turtleneck for her sister to wear at the funeral to cover the brutal rope marks around her neck.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. She then talked about how she stood next to Elizabeth's coffin with Rudy before it was discovered that he killed her. So he stood at the coffin with Elizabeth's sister.
Gross.
She looked at Rudy and she said to him, "You knew what you did, yet you stood in front of her body crying with me. You told me the day of her burial that you wished it was you in there and how you wanted to just lay there with her. That when you married her, you knew it would be till death do you part." Sinister.
Yeah.
And then she says, "You're a coward." So Johanna and her other sister, Alejandra, they held up a large photo of Elizabeth for everyone to see. Alejandra also got up on the stand and gave her statement. She looked at Rudy and says, "You kidnapped her and then you threw her away in the lake like nothing. And she was everything to me. We all trusted you. We all cared for you. And you betrayed us all." And she added, "Worst of all was the fact Rudy hadn't stopped to consider his and Elizabeth's four children."
Yeah.
She said, "I had to tell them that their dad, the person who should have been their protector, killed their mom. No punishment would ever be enough." She said, "You're a monster. I hate you, and I will never forgive you." Fidel Galvan, Elizabeth's stepfather, he also gave a statement. He thanked prosecutors and detectives for bringing Elizabeth justice. He told Rudy that he would miss out on his wonderful children growing up. He stated, "We can't understand it. How could you leave your children motherless?" Fidel was also reported stating he, Rudy, had a trophy wife who was very respectful and very loved by many. His pride got in the way. Elizabeth's family vowed to raise the children with love. And if I'm not mistaken, her kids are now aged 11, 14, 16, and 18, if I did my math correctly.
Okay.
Her sister said, "We will make sure that my sister's kids remember that my sister loved them. She lived for those kids. They were her world. And we're going to continue to talk about her every single day, like we still do, and remember her and keep her memory alive always." So Rudy, he offered no explanation or apology for his actions. He just stood there and took it.
Gross.
He gave no emotion, blank-faced. Once they were done talking, he was ushered away to prison.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. He was officially sentenced to serve life behind bars without the chance of parole. So yes, rest in peace, Elizabeth.
Oh, I love a good impact statement. I love the fact that the family gets to rip a new bottom hole, you know, yeah. in the person and say whatever they want. And mm-hmm. you know that those words are haunting. Those words oh, will yeah. resound in their mind yeah. forever.
Not only does he have to live with what he did, you know, the thoughts and, you know, reliving mm-hmm. what he did, but he has to live with the words from yeah. her sisters as well.
That is sick. But, I mean, yeah. to go to her funeral and to be there with the family, and a lot of killers do that, especially husbands or wives, you know,
right.
who've killed their spouse.
Yeah, we see it a lot.
All the mm-hmm. time. Ugh. Yeah. I can't believe that. I've never heard of that story.
Yeah. And it actually was, I was reminded of it the other day. A friend of mine just started listening to the podcast, and she was like, "Hey, do you remember this?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." But unbelievable. Mm.
Rest in peace.
Yes. All right. Well,
thanks for that.
That was great. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Let's do it again. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye now.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.